Hello, everybody. So welcome back to the channel. Well, the lugubrious tidings the other day that Theresa May is stepping down from her Maidenhead constituency, so she shall no longer be in the House of Commons, which she has disgraced with her presence since 1997. So closes the not-so-illustrious political career of one of the blandest people in British politics. And I know someone who was a Tory inclined voter who said that boring is good. And that's a view that many would share, especially after the roller coaster ride of the Boris Johnson premiership, which followed immediately after Theresa May. So Theresa May, no doubt, should be booted upstairs. All prime ministers are offered elevation to the peerage. I think she's the sort who's inclined to accept it, because Maggie Thatcher took it straight away on stepping aside from the prime ministership, became Baroness Thatcher of Kesteven. That's Kesteven. I think that's a place just outside Grantham, where she was from, Lincolnshire. John Major declined it. Tony Blair's declined it. Even when he got a knighthood a couple of years ago, people thought that was highly contentious. And who else? Gordon Brown hasn't taken it up. Lord Cameron took it up latterly just a couple of months ago and became Foreign Secretary. So Theresa May's the next in line. Will it be offered to Liz Truss, proffered to Bojo? So Maidenhead is a rock-solid Conservative seat. And obviously she won it in 97, which is annus horribilis for the Conservative Unionist Party. In 2010, the Liberal Democrats had a decapitation strategy, thought they could take seats from prominent Conservatives, and they failed there. And she's turned it into a real Conservative bastion. But obviously, next time you might say nowhere is safe for the Conservatives. I think that's one of the few the Conservatives can be fairly confident of holding. With the Liberal Democrats, they've achieved a few earthquakes at by-elections the last few years in the West Midlands, in Buckinghamshire, taking Chesham and Amersham, you know, Cheryl Gillan's old seat, that one in Shropshire, stuff like that. But I don't think they'll do so this time. So there'll be a scramble for that one, because, you know, the Conservative Party over a parliament might have, say, 3,000 applications to be on the parliamentary candidates list, about 1,500 be accepted. Of course, they only need about 630 candidates, because they don't contest Northern Ireland and they don't contest the Speaker's seat. So most of the safe seats will be set up a long time ago. But this one, having just declared recently that they need a candidate for probably later this year, woo, a lot of people will want that one. Anyway, she came into politics age 39, the youngest Conservative woman in the House of Commons back in 97. There are only 16 Conservative women, so she's always destined to have a big future, because she fell into two demographic categories where the Conservative Party was performing poorly, didn't have enough women in Parliament, and did not have enough young MPs. So she was born in rural Oxfordshire, Theresa Brazier, the only son of a vicar. Both her grandmothers were in service, which is to say they were maidservants. So she went to a comprehensive school, despite being in some ways very middle class. And then she went to St. Hugh's College, Oxford, which was all female at the time when she read geography. And she was introduced by Benazir Bhutto to a future husband, Philip May. Benazir Bhutto, who went on to be the only woman to serve as Prime Minister of Pakistan and be assassinated in 2007. But Benazir Bhutto's got a lot to answer for. So she met Philip May at a young Conservative disco. They got married after graduation, and within a year, both her parents had died. So she said to be exceptionally close to her husband. You might say, well, most married women are close to their husbands. No, but this is extraordinary, because think about it. She's got no sister, no brother, no parents by the age of 22, and she never had children. Apparently, she had medical problems causing her to miscarry a lot. So that's her. They worked at the Bank of England. It was a life of a cloyingly tedious virtue. And he was in finance, so plenty of money, built up their political career. I think they were living in Putney. She stood unsuccessfully in 92, and there she was. So after just a year in Parliament, she voted at the front bench. She was education spokesman. And I remember when she came to Oxford in 2000 to address some people, and only five people turned up to hear her speak. So I know what she's like, almost one-to-one. So, I mean, she's the same in private as she is in public, and decidedly banal. What can I say? Is she overpromoted? But, you know, she's hardworking. She knows her brief and doesn't set a foot wrong. Is a caitiff, is a conformist, is a careerist, and just wasn't going to rock the boat. And eventually became Home Secretary under David Cameron. And any successes there? presided over some sort of fall in crime, and there were various scandals came out under her, the Jimmy Savile scandal, not because of her time as Home Secretary. These things that came to light should be going on decades earlier. And of course, jumped on the bandwagon, the usual folk devil hysteria and more regulation, more snooping, more people incited to accuse others and inform on people. So that's what she was presiding over. So she's definitely not a small stater. She is into hyper-regulation, interfering. She's a nanny stater. And then she was up against Andrea Leadsom for the Conservative leadership. Andrea Leadsom blotted her own copybook and withdrew from the race, which is why Theresa May won unopposed. And it was also seemed to be going so well for her in early 2017. She'd been prime minister for several months. She'd obviated any possibility of an election. Well, said she'd ruled it out. But then she was riding high in the polls. She was far more popular than Jeremy Corbyn, who's leader of Her Majesty's most loyal opposition. And Theresa May had fired the starting pistol, issued that Article 50 notice. The United Kingdom intended to leave the European Union. And that gave her 2 years to negotiate the exit settlement. And she thought she had all her ducks in a row. So she broke her earlier pledge and she sought a dissolution of Parliament. Remember, in those days, in the Fixed Terms Parliaments Act, that was only achievable by a two-thirds majority of the House of Commons. They set the bar for that supermajority there, so that almost certainly you'd have to have a few opposition MPs voting for it as well. The governing party couldn't simply misuse this royal prerogative in order to call election early for partisan electoral reasons. Anyway, she goes 20% ahead in the polls, strong and stable, that was her slogan, but ran the most boring election campaign of all time to ticketed audiences, vetted Conservatives only, was deeply uninspiring, whereas Jeremy Corbyn played a blinder, he electrified audiences, he connected with the junior generation, there was a youth quake, Labour was much savvier at use of social media and gave the Tories a real fright, and plus some jitters by talking about raising the pension age, and the silver vote did not like that. Of course, the Conservative Party relies heavily on the votes of older people, either retired or coming up to it. And so they had to backpedal on that one frenetically, but the damage was done. But she almost snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, and she managed to win by only 2 percentage points of the popular vote, but had lost her majority of the House of Commons, and therefore was reliant on a confidence and supply agreement with the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP, which only exists in Northern Ireland, giving them a bung of extra £1 billion, which in governmental terms might sound a paltry sum, but in Northern Ireland it goes a long way because there's only 3% of the UK population. Anyhow, so then she was back, but she leached away authority because she kept losing these votes on the Brexit deal. And as I say, she was really raising the bar for humiliation there. Other things had gone wrong. The Grenfell Towers a week after that 2017 election. I mean, nothing to do with her, really. It was at Labour Council, but all right, the regulations, were they too lax about the materials that were used, which weren't fire retardant? And people shouldn't try to exploit this for the purpose of party advantage. And so finally, in 2019, she'd won a vote of confidence. You know, there have been 5 votes of confidence held in Conservative leaders ever. 4 times out of 5, the incumbent wins, but no one survived more than 2 years beyond that time. So she chose to fall on her sword. She stepped down that July, and to her chagrin, Boris Johnson won. Boris Johnson, whom she'd appointed as Foreign Secretary. Remember, she'd campaigned for Remain. When it happened, she said, okay, she would implement the settled will of the people of the United Kingdom to withdraw from the European Union. Brexit means Brexit. And she was asked by a journalist, do you think Brexit is a good idea? I will carry out the will of the people. She was asked 4 times, and each time she replied, I will carry out the will of the people. So blatantly, she thought it was a poor idea, but nevertheless, the people were her masters, not her servants. So therefore, she implemented the result of the referendum, which everyone promised they would do. So how will she be remembered, I suppose, for failing to implement Brexit? I mean, there was some decent economic growth under her, no real policy achievements, being quite an impressive figure. Bojo had resigned from her cabinet months before she stepped down because they'd had some weekend meeting at Chequers. This is our Brexit policy. Do we agree? Do we agree? Yes, we'll agree. And the next day he resigned, saying the dream is dying and this is not proper Brexit. And she said, well, I'm very surprised. It's only yesterday you were happy with it. But with him, it's always him calculating about his own advancement for his own aggrandizement. He reckoned he stood a better chance of getting the top job if he resigned than if he stayed. And in that supposition, he transpired to be correct. Yeah, Bojo, so good at handling these very delicate diplomatic situations. He's known for his tact and never putting his foot in it and not resorting to racial epithets or crude stereotypes. So that is her. She's been seen as a bit of an elder stateswoman, speaking from the back benches sometimes and sharing us with anecdotes about her Britannic Majesty after the Queen died. I remember one woman said to me that Theresa May accessorizes very well. And I see this, was watching again the steps the speech she gave on the steps of Downing Street, where she's going in as Prime Minister saying, oh, for people who are not doing well, financial struggling, we're going to think about you, we're going to help you, not at the super rich. Absolute bull. Not what the Conservative Party did at all. Did not raise taxes on the super rich, did not make life easier for the average person, particularly improving public services or lowering taxes on people on middle and low incomes. So, I mean, just nonsense. But she seemed to believe it, but promising to do one thing and doing the exact opposite. So the sort of person who's in a way just such a vacuity will say or do anything to achieve office doesn't appear to have any bedrock beliefs. So-called moderation, so-called extremism, which is dissent, which is original thinking, which is having a tiny bit of moral courage. That is extreme in her view. She will not be missed. I think she will go down in history as a terrific prime minister. Anyway, so she's hoping that Jeremy Hunt would come after her, someone who's cut from the same cloth, a man who's kind of really personifies boring mediocrity, a head boy type, a real brown noser, and he didn't get it. Johnson got it. I had actually wanted Jeremy Hunt, despite being loathsome. He is at least a responsible, intelligent adult, and you knew what to expect with him. Whereas Johnson, his volatility put me off. Anyway, what do you think about Theresa May? What's the kindest thing you can say for her? The Maybot dancing onto stage to the Conservative conference, returning the dance of some of the African people who are greeting her. Which country was it? Kenya? I don't recall. So she's weird. WYRD. That weird. All right. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Toodle pip.